We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, hey, everyone. Jaden Johnson sitting down today with Lindsay and Dalton Baker, Utah State power couple. Lindsay, of course, of the Utah State women's basketball team, and Dalton from the Utah State football team. I think you guys need to have a duel with Sam and Canyon Merrill for the title of real Utah State power couple. And maybe choose like a neutral sport, bowling or something.
Yeah, that'd work out.
I think there's plenty of room for two of you, but you guys have been married for about a year now, a little bit over a year, yeah?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How'd that come to be? How'd you guys meet, and what's the story?
She can give her side of the story first, and I'll give mine. How's that?
All right.
Me? Okay.
Yeah.
The first day of college, showed up. This big, scary football player was winking at me, giving me some looks. And then
she said the first day of college?
Seriously, yeah, the first day.
In class?
Yes.
We had connections together, like the freshmen.
No, it was like the intro.
Or the intro class, that's right.
Yeah, with all the transfers or freshman student-athletes.
This already sounds like a Disney movie.
Yeah, and so I showed up to my first class of college, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to get a boyfriend. I'm here specifically for basketball, and school. And then this big, scary football player is winking at me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm just like, my cheeks are going all, like, bright red, and I'm like, oh, no. But we took votes on my basketball team, like, who was the hottest. And only me and Vic voted for Dalton being like the hottest kid in the class or whatever, and the rest voted for Mason Tobeck. So anyways, it worked out in my favor. I got the hottest kid in the class, and he got my number and texted me, and we just went out on a date, and that was it. We were inseparable, did everything together, and yeah, that's my side of the story.
Okay.
she buttered it up quite a bit. I mean, the first, I noticed her the first day of class, of course, but, you got to fill the class out first and all that, and we got separated into different groups for, like, a project type thing, and we had to list all of our information to get contacted through, to work on the project, and I knew this is my chance. I seen her name and her number and everything there, so I jotted that down in my own notebook and texted her on a couple of days later. I said, hey, you want to meet in study hall or whatever we could study? And she responded in like 5 seconds. It was quick. She's like, yeah, I'll be there in 5 minutes. And so then she came, and we didn't study at all. We sat there for like 2-3 hours and just talked, got to know each other, and just kind of set the ball rolling from there, I guess. It just, you know, and then dated ever since. So
you left out the winking part.
I do not recall winking. I mean, I made up after I had talked to her. But, I mean, I could have smiled at her or waved or something, but winked. I don't know. I don't remember that.
All right, we'll let the jury decide on that. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It's a great story either way. I mean, you know, meeting the first day of class and then the rest is history.
Yeah.
So you guys dated for a little while?
Yeah. Yep. About 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you're both, I mean, super seniors right now. Yeah. Both fifth-year seniors.
Fifth-year seniors. So, I mean, she was a year ahead of me. She didn't redshirt her freshman year. And then when she was diagnosed with diabetes that fall, just after meeting her for, you know, a few months. And then that following year, she redshirted. So that put us on the same time frame as fifth-year seniors. So
I definitely want to talk about that. You guys, you guys are both
it's crazy, crazy experience. So meant to be. So,
I mean, Dalton, you grew up with diabetes, and you were, you know, from a young age, right?
Yep, seventh grade.
Seventh grade.
Yeah.
And so you went through middle school and high school knowing, you know, what that's like, and then Lindsay, for you, it was later. It was after you met Dalton, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it 3 months?
Yeah, 3-4 months.
It was around after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Yep.
After you started dating.
2 days, yeah.
Wow. So we've been dating, what, probably 2-3 months? And
yeah.
So it was just all of a sudden hit, and there you go. So
what was that like? I mean, obviously, I'm sure it was really, really tough for you to find that out, but to have Dalton around who's, you know, kind of been through that.
And
knows what it's like.
He definitely helped out a lot. I mean, his mom would always give him crap and still gives him crap to this day about not recognizing the signs I was going through and all the symptoms I was having because he experienced the exact same thing. But I think he was just in denial, basically, of kind of what was happening.
That, and but, I knew she was just a lot tougher than most, so I didn't think anything of it. Because she was always saying, oh, I'm just fine, I feel sick, or, you know, this or that. But as her symptoms progressed, and it was actually the night we were playing BRU up here that year, and she had left, I don't know, halftime or something. I couldn't get a hold of her after the game, so I was kind of getting worried, like, where's she at, what's she doing, you know. An hour goes by, and then I get a call and a text from her parents saying, we're in the hospital, yada, 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 this is what's going on. And I didn't really, like, didn't know what to think at that time, because it was like, this is, like, the most ironic thing to meet someone and then this have that happen to them. It was just kind of shocking, but at the same time, like, I knew that was given to me in my life for a reason, and it was given to me knowingly that I could handle that and help that person. So,
well, it's pretty crazy because you don't really hear about many D1 athletes with diabetes.
Exactly,
and
then
to have two that are dating, and it wasn't the case before you were dating, like, that's not the reason you met or anything like that. It's really pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So that was probably, I mean, if it was during football season, probably right before the season started for you, Lindsay?
We were actually in games.
Yeah. Couple weeks in.
You already probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were playing games. And we were actually down at BYU playing, and it was their elementary game. And Funda went down. She got knocked down and split her eye open and possibly needed stitches. So then Vic goes in as, like, the backup point guard. Vic didn't want the pressure. She was all freaking out. And then we were just down by, like, 20 points instantly, and it was just terrible. The game was falling apart. It was just, oh, so my coaches subbed me in, and they're like, we need you to score. We need you to shoot threes. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I was pretty sick at that. Pretty sick at that time.
And the coaches didn't know.
No. Cause
she's tough. She don't want to complain or anything.
Yeah. So I just kept practicing. Wasn't really quite sure what was going on. But I had woke up, and my vision was super blurry. And so I text my mom, and I was like, Mom, like, I can't see anything in class. I think I need glasses or whatever, contacts. And so we actually went to the eye doctor, and they gave me contacts. I put them in. They worked. I was like, sweet. It's fixed, whatever. And then I woke up a few days later, and my vision was already so much worse that the contacts weren't even working. And so then at that point, when I was subbed in for BYU, they're like, we need you to score. And I was like, everything's so fuzzy. I can't see numbers. Like, the rim super fuzzy. And I'm like, I can't shoot the ball. Like, I'm going to miss. I can't shoot the ball. And so I just I played super safe. And the coaches, like, talked to me after. Micah Thompson, she's not here anymore, but that was my recruiting coach. And she pulled me aside and was like, what's going on? And I was like, you know, the rim's not very clear to me. I can't see super good. And so, like, I didn't feel comfortable shooting the ball and shoot. So anyways, it was 2 days after that when we were released on Thanksgiving break when I was admitted into the hospital and we figured out what was going on. But, yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And that was just a terrible game, too. It was so frustrating.
Yeah.
But, well, their vision going blurry, that's, like, kind of more the end of you really need to go get checked out for this, because that's kind of saying, because when I was diagnosed and went to Primary Children's, I was registered in it. My blood sugar was 756. And my vision was kind of going a little bit blurry here and there, you know. But she goes in, her vision is extremely blurry. And what was your blood? It was
1,068.
1,000. So that's like, and the doctors had said this was like one of the highest like blood sugar recordings they've ever seen at the hospital. I mean, and I've known stories and people where children or, you know, younger adults have actually passed away from having blood sugars that high for a long period of time.
Wow. So it could have gotten really serious.
It could have gotten a lot worse, or she could have had permanent, you know, damage to her eyesight. Mm-hmm. So
at that point, did you miss a few games, or were you able to, I mean, I don't know how this whole thing works. Were you able to get on medication, or is it medications or
insulin?
Just get on insulin and get back out on the court immediately, or was it a
no?
Bit of
it was a little bit of a wait, but I was in the hospital for 8 days, okay. And with when your blood sugar's that high, they also can't drop you down into like a normal level. They have to gradually do it, and so that's why I was in the hospital so long, and I was just like on IVs, and they slowly just were dropping it at a steady rate, and then after that, I felt super weird, probably because I'd been used to being high for so long, but like practicing and stuff was super hard, and I would just go home crying because I'm like, this isn't what like I'm used to. I'm totally not playing different. To my potential, and it was so frustrating. I was just had no idea what was going on with my body, so it was super frustrating, but like I would come home and cry to him, and he would just be like, you know what, it's okay, and like just talk me through it because he had been through the same thing, and it like made things a lot easier, and I don't know, I feel like if I didn't have him, basketball would have been really, really frustrating.
It was
at that time.
It was hard. I mean, because I'm into a point where I've done this for years before, and so I couldn't just jump in and say, okay, this is how it's done, this is how you do it. You know, this is someone that's going through a lot, and it's not just going to work every day and dealing with it. She's got all this other stuff she's got to worry about, you know, class, performing right, practice, you know, games. So there's a lot more variables that are weighing in on, well, crap, I got to deal with this extra thing now. The whole medication part of it, kind of how it works is a type 1. Because a lot of people get type 1 and type 2 misinterpreted. They kind of think, oh, well, if you're a diabetic, you're not overweight, you're not out of shape, you know, you're an athlete, why do you have diabetes? And type 1 is actually, it's a recessive gene that is just, you're programmed with in your DNA, and some point in your life it just triggers on. And with me, my doctors had said that what triggered mine was probably going into puberty, you know, that age, getting to junior high, and then mine snapped. But there could be anything that could have caused it, but you know, now just on shots of insulin and checking our blood glucose constantly to keep it in a certain range, you know, so it's kind of a balancing act day to day. So
well, and I know that you know, during the season, when you're on the road, a lot of times it's hopping on a bus, eating whatever food they ordered for you, and, you know, go, go, go. It's not a regular schedule. Does that present a really big challenge for you, or is it something that you've kind of been able to balance and get used to by this point?
Well, I mean, she probably could elaborate more on this, because she, at first, you know, because that's all on counting carbs. Your insulin ratio is, you take so many units for so many carbs that you're eating. And every person that has it is on a different ratio. Every body reacts differently to the insulin, you know, body mass index, size, all that stuff, fat intake. So I know she had a couple of stories about how she's on the road, and she would text me about it, and she would send me her portion sizes or her sandwiches or whatever she was eating and ask me, you know, how many carbs are in this and this and that. Because when I was diagnosed, I was lucky enough, you know, being in Primary Children's, you know, world-renowned hospital, they had classes for me to take. I learned how to count carbs by knowing the size or amount, just memorization. And my mom, being a nurse, she bought every carb counting book you could think of, and being proactive with it and helping me learn and count and be able just to memorize what is in food when I see it. So that was kind of good for her, because she really didn't receive that type of, you know, being an adult. It's just like, okay, well, you should know how to look it up online and figure it out or whatever. So she always kind of came to me and helped me out with her. I helped her out with, you know, connection on getting her the right amount of carbs in her meals and stuff is kind of one of the things she approached me about a lot in her first few months traveling on the road. Mm-hmm. So
probably took me a good year.
Yeah, it before takes a while.
I felt comfortable.
Because well, even now I still mess up and she messes up. Oh, crap. You go get something at a restaurant. You don't know what they cooked it with, what they put in it, you know. Right. But it's just a guessing game and just making sure you're on top of everything. So
I mean, you've both, you know, overcome a lot. Is it something that you take a little bit of pride in now? And, I mean, I'm sure you've probably had younger kids that have diabetes come up and talk to you after games and all that. What's that like?
I think it's super cool. I didn't used to think it was super cool. But Dalton actually has, like, his big tattoo on his shoulder for diabetes. And he always took pride in it and always just, like, this is who I am and, like, really took charge and let it become a part of him. But for me, I was like, I don't want to be a diabetic. And it was, like, super hard. And playing basketball, it was super hard for me transitioning. And it was like, I wasn't used to this. And like, now that I have to play basketball with this, and like, maybe one day I'm having a rough day where I just don't feel good. And it's like, so easy to just blame it on diabetes, and, yep. You know, but he's taught me over the years, just, you know, let it become part of you. And
it ain't going away.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Take pride in it and be positive about it. And I don't know, share your story with others and try to just help young kids. And we actually became friends with this little boy that was being bullied at school and was having a really hard time, and he was just recently diagnosed diabetic. And so we made contact with his school, and was it 2 years ago?
Yep, I think so, yeah.
Two years ago, we went out and visited his elementary school and, like, made it a big deal, and we were playing football and basketball with the kids and stuff, and it was such a cool experience, but, like, I wouldn't be experiencing those things if, like, I wasn't diabetic. Sure. And so, like, I've grown to like it. But yeah. At first, it was really rough, and it was easy to be negative about it or, like, blame diabetes, basically. So,
no, it's good because it kind of it opens the door to being able to be a role model other than just a student-athlete. You know, there's more on your plate, and there's more you can do for the community and people watching and listening in. So with the small kids and stuff in the Valley that we've met over the years and just people coming up to us after, you know, a blue and white game or their madness night, you know, whatever, stuff like that, just with families and seeing parents come up. And, you know, when I'm speaking with the parents, you can tell that it's just, they're going through the same thing that probably my parents went through, of just trying to be able to keep their kid happy and keep them a kid and not have to worry about certain things, and just being able to speak with them and see that, you know, it's one of those things that God gave you that thing for a reason, and he knows you can handle it. He wouldn't give it to you if you could. So it's kind of one of those things that you can either, there's two ways you can go about it, either negative or positive. And I mean, you know, the obvious choice everyone wants to say is positive, but it's, you know, a thing that you have to remind yourself every day to just take the cards and roll with it. So
that's so cool. You've definitely got a platform.
Yeah.
Sure. So just on the life about life being a student athlete, I mean, both of you have totally different schedules, I'm sure, different seasons. Yeah. They overlap a little bit, but I've seen up close, obviously I'm not a student athlete, but I've seen up close, like, how much time that takes and mm-hmm. how much dedication goes into all the practices and the film sessions and everything that you guys do. I mean, do you even see each other when the seasons overlap? Because yeah. We got a few weeks coming up here where
there's quite a bit. I mean, it just, you know, it depends. Some weeks we get lucky if she's home and I'm home, yeah. or whatever the schedules are overlapping, but there's a few weeks or a few months, past couple of years, where we see each other maybe 1 or 2 days a week for a 3-4 week period of time. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, it's kind of like a distance relationship, but it's not, because we know what we're doing when we're on the road. You know, we both do the same things. You're out playing a game, prepping, you know, in the hotels, or we kind of do the same thing, you know, just being with the team. So it's good, because when that one person's gone, you know, the other person's home, you know, busting their butt, doing their thing, busy from, you know, sun up to sundown. So even when we're both here, we don't really see each other a lot either, because, you know, we're film practice, weights in the morning, you know, class mid-morning to mid-afternoon. And you got a little bit of break, you'll get taped, and then more meetings, then practice, and you have weights in between. Then we meet up at training table at night to have dinner, and then go home, do homework till about, you know, 10:30, and then start all over again. It's pretty routine, but I mean, you got to look at the things that you can appreciate, because there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids and people that want to be in our position,
of course,
with what we're able to do and experience on our day-to-day lives. So
yeah, on that note, I mean, Don, you've had a pretty big opportunity this year on the football team, and I think that, you know, your career, it's been, you've been kind of a grinder for the last 4 years here at Utah State, and you know, really worked your way into playing time, and this season you're getting a pretty good opportunity. What's the season been like for you?
Season's great, man. I mean, you know, coming out of high school, Coach Anderson and McGivens and Orlando and all them, they're kind of on their way out. So, I mean, that was kind of like, oh, darn, I've been, you know, connected with them while I was in high school. But I knew coming up here is just, I had an opportunity that I dreamt of as I was a kid. And kind of a big thing that kept me going through all of it is I was on the same Pee Wee team for like 8 years all growing up. I had the same coach all through the years. And when I was in high school, he actually passed away of cancer. And I had spoken with him, and he told me that you got no other option, but you're going to play college football because you got what it takes, you got the mental capacity for it. And just being really close with my coach from a young age, he kind of just gave me that, yeah, I'm from a small town, you know, and all this and that. And the recruiting was very, very cold doing, you know, from my team. We never had a winning season.
You were a Payson kid, right?
Payson kid. It was, football was rough down there, yeah. And hopefully one day that we can get flipped that around, but coming into that and just kind of, you know, gave me the steps to go into, you know, whatever the team needs me to do is what they need me to do. And first year played offense side of the ball, played H-back and played tight end. And then that following spring moved around, played in inside backer for a few games. And they said, well, you're big enough to play outside. So I played outside. And then that next year they said, well, you're, you know, blowing up in the weight room, so keep going. So then I got all the way up to 280 pounds. Played a little bit of inside D tackle stuff last year, and kind of just, you know, knowing my role to be able to take on double teams with 300-pound dudes and keep the backers free and all that. And then new coaches come in, and they see my talents or my opportunities to, you know, excel in different positions. And so this year I think I played 3 or 4 different positions so far through the first few games. And it's actually really fun because it takes the game and actually – you know, allows me to know everyone's job on the field and know, right. You know, being a high IQ guy where I've had years and years of experience at playing offense and then, you know, defense and then learning from all these different coaches, it's like playing on defense, you know, against guys on offense where I've been in their shoes, I kind of know their scheme, what they're trying to do, you know, their techniques and stuff. So it's been really fun to kind of learn as a whole, you know, on the whole game of football. So.
Well, and I know talking to Coach Anderson a couple weeks back, he said you were the defensive player of the game
in yep.
Utah State.
Yeah, so that's good. I mean, you know, I always just try to, you know, not get overwhelmed with things because 1 week they're asking me to learn this position, 1 week they're asking me to learn that, and, you know, put away with relentless effort and just, you know, you, whatever cards you're dealt, just make the most of it and, you know, get noticed. So it's good.
It's awesome, man. And then, Lindsay, I'm in basketball. Right around the corner. I'm a football guy, but I'm so ready for basketball.
Basketball is exciting, especially in the spec here. It's awesome.
I mean, you've had kind of a similar career where you've kind of been a grinder for the last 4 years at Utah State, and you've gone through a lot of injuries as well. And I know you redshirted a season, missed quite a few games last year with injury, but now you're back and you're in a really prime spot, I think, to come out and make a big impact this season.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think I'm really excited for this year, and I'm excited to be a senior. And the incoming girls are super cool, and they fit well with the team. So yeah. I think we'll do good this season.
There's a lot of turnover, and you know, whether that's girls graduating, girls transferring, but you've brought in a lot of new faces. What's the feeling like around the team right now?
Super positive. There's a lot of hard workers on the team. Coach Jay Rod Jensen has brought a lot to the team, and we love his coaching style. We love him being a part of the program. We love all the other coaches. It's super fun to show up to practice with just the intensity. And, yeah, the girls, the new girls bring a lot, and I think we fit well together as a team. And the way we're going preseason and our Mexico trip has all put us a step further than all the other teams. So I think we'll start off really well.
That's awesome. Like I said, I'm ready.
Me too.
Let's go.
Me too.
All right. So for each of you, what's been your favorite part about being a Utah State student athlete?
Well, ladies first.
It's a tough question, huh?
That is tough. There's been so many great things. But
think outside the box. Favorite thing as a student athlete. What are you going to miss the most?
Playing the game every day.
That's true.
But
that's an answer.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I don't know. Everything being a student athlete is just, I don't know. I know when it's over, I'm going to miss everything about it. I'm going to miss my teammates. I'm going to miss the coaches. I'm going to miss weights every day, waking up early. Probably not class. That's probably the only thing I won't miss. But everything revolving around basketball and friendships and stuff, I'll miss.
That's awesome. What about you, Dalton?
Yeah, it's, you know, of course, with any, you know, student athlete that's in love with the game they play, of course, you'll miss all the, you know, opportunities and friendships and cool just scenes and places and just people you get to meet through the years. I mean, biggest thing for me is probably just the whole second family that, you know, I've grown to develop and have is, you know, we're guys from all different types of backgrounds and cities and just totally different, you know, that you would never expect it could come together to have a common goal and, like, have friendships and help each other through hard times because, you know, it isn't just like diabetes. You know, a lot of people on the team sometimes don't really know that I have it because I kind of just take care of it on my own and just keep it, you know, going. But the things that I hear and that some of my teammates go through is just, like, you know, heartbreaking, of course, you know, and family life and stuff back home. There's, you know, you can't live and dwell on, you know, all the negative things because those guys, you know, take it in the chin and they move forward and just, cool to see how all these different people come together and work through all their issues and just become a family. So
it's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. All right, you guys, Utah State's real power couple, Lindsay and Dalton.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to talk to Sam and Kane and see what they say about that.
Oh, all right.
Thanks for sharing your story and thanks for sitting down to talk with me, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.